It's a Mesereau Monday, our final one of the month. Submit to Sai. It's been great catching up with you. You've talked to us a little bit about the positive outlook that 2026 could bring, maybe some of the yellow or burnt orange flags that you mentioned that are potentially out there. So how do we, the average Joe or Jane, prepare for stuff like this? I mean, I imagine working with a Mesereau agent, advisor, excuse me, is going to kind of help us prepare for the doom, the gloom, and the good times too.
Yeah, you know, selfish plug, but or a shameless plug, but you know, working with a financial advisor, especially a Mesereau financial advisor, is always a good way to sort of make sure that your investment portfolio is aligned with your goals. So that's always a great start to truly understand what your money is. You know, what purpose is your money playing in your life, and what is the role that you want to achieve with your money? Is it for saving retirement? Is it for, you know, purchasing a second home, paying for your kids' education, for example? Those are all different, you know, different goals and require different investment strategies, frankly. And that's something that a financial advisor can certainly help you with, especially in this environment where, you know, what I've noticed in the past couple of years is product proliferation. Investors are so overwhelmed with different investment choices right now because, you know, the market's been at an all-time high and, you know, companies are coming out with new hot products to invest in. It's hard to navigate that kind of environment, and I think something a financial advisor can really help you with.
Yeah, I mean, like, I would have never pictured a world where, like, I feel like a fifth of all the commercials I watch are EFTs commercials, right? Like
ETFs are
ETFs, excuse me.
Yeah,
yes.
Yeah.
It's bonkers. That's,
yeah,
like, so weird.
You know, ironically, mentioning ETFs, ETFs are one of the areas that we are very excited about in terms, yeah, of product innovation. A good ETF is a very valuable tool in an investment portfolio, but there are lots of bad ETFs too. So lots of very speculative, high-frequency trading type ETFs that we don't think make a lot of sense for the average investor. But that's what's getting marketed to the average investor, and it's tough to sort of delineate between some of those.
ETF, exchange-traded funds, right?
Exchange-traded funds.
It's like a lump of something. Maybe it's a bunch of tech stocks, or it's broadly trying to follow the S&P 500, but you buy it on one ticker price, and you can buy it throughout the day. It's not like a mutual fund that is just at the end of the,
yeah,
day.
Yeah, so it sort of trades on an exchange like an individual stock,
yeah,
but most ETFs are typically a basket of stocks, a diversified portfolio like a mutual fund. So, you know, in our opinion, it's sort of the best of both worlds in that way between,
right,
you know, diversified portfolio, mutual funds, and individual stocks.
Well, you mentioned diversified portfolios. No one rings the bell when it's at the top, right?
Yeah.
That would be great if they did. Is diversity in stocks and equities and bonds kind of like one of advisors? And again, it depends on each individual person, but I mean, that's got to be something. Diversification has got to be key here right now.
Yeah, it's so important because there's so much uncertainty, whether it's around, you know, how long this AI trend is going to last, or, you know, what happens with interest rates, what happens with the U.S. dollar and currency. So much of that is very unpredictable. And frankly, you know, the market vibe around those topics sort of change on a month-to-month basis. You know, I think important to, you know, focus on diversification. You know, last year was an important or kind of a noteworthy one in that international markets actually outperformed U.S. markets for the first time in a very long time. And if you rewound maybe 2 or 3 years ago, we had clients asking us, you know, why do we own international stocks? They've underperformed for so long. But last year, you know, non-U.S. stocks were up 30%. The S&P was up 18%. So, you know, it really paid to have that diversification. And I think it continues to pay this year. I think international markets are typically not well represented in American investor portfolios. And, you know, to the extent that we're seeing some of what's going on at the macro level with interest rate uncertainty and budget deficits and things like that, you know, the dollar declined in value last year and could continue to decline a little bit in value this year, too. And that would really benefit non-U.S. stocks. So, again, I'm not necessarily making a call on U.S. versus non-U.S.,
oh, yeah,
but really it's really about kind of, you know, those core investment principles around quality, diversification, maintaining a long-term perspective as well, and using volatility as a feature of the market and not necessarily shying away from it, expecting that there will be more volatility in the market this year and sort of preparing your portfolio because we've had 3 or 4 years of really great returns. Say, hey, I don't know what's going to happen this year, but if the market, you know, does you know, have another, you know, 1 month period where it drops 15% because of some kind of unexpected news. We want to be able to take advantage of that. And, you know, holding cash, having a diversified portfolio can give you some of that dry powder to take advantage of when, you know, the market may move in a way that's unexpected.
Meaning having cash on the side so that if the market goes down 15%, you're not a panicked seller. In fact, you're an opportunistic buyer.
Yeah, I think that you want it. You really want to sort of, you know, be on the right side of any kind of volatility this year. Again, I think that, you know, we're going to see some more volatility around the economy and politics. You know, we have an election coming up this year. That's all going to be, you know, adding to the uncertainty in the market, and having some cash or even just being diversified so that, you know, if everything in your portfolio is moving at the same time, you're probably not diversified enough. But, you know, if you have, you know, a mix of different investments in your portfolio, when one is underperforming, one might be performing well, and you can use that stuff that's holding its value as dry powder to reallocate to some of the beaten down stuff.
Interesting.
You want to think contrary, you know, like a contrarian.
Yeah, no, I like that. I've always thought about like people who are resistant to kind of put maybe some of their gains into safer places, quote unquote safer places, diversified places maybe, or cash, for a fear of missing out on more gains. I hadn't thought about it, that part of the psychology of that can be like, well, guess what? If you have a little dry powder on the side or whatever the case may be, everyone else is going to be having FOMO of you being able to put that to work in the moments where everything's cheaper.
You know, the biggest example of that is Warren Buffett, who, you know, stepped down from his CEO role at the end of last year or at the end of 2025. He set up Berkshire Hathaway, his, you know, the company that he ran for such a long time, to be really a fortress. And, you know, that company's sitting on $350 billion of cash. If there's ever any kind of drawdown in the market or something breaks, you know, Berkshire Hathaway is going to be able to put cash to work. It's going to be able to bail companies out if that's what's needed. And we saw that in 2008, if you remember, during the global financial crisis, Berkshire Hathaway was one of the few financial institutions with a robust balance sheet, and they were able to bail out a lot of the banks that were, you know, close to close to failing.
So WWBD, what would Buffett do? Not a bad little slogan.
We ask that a lot in the office.
Yeah, that's good. Okay, well, I think it's important to do all those things that you mentioned. Boy, it should be, let's hope it's a good year. Let's hope it's a good year for your great financial advisors that we're going to be chatting with all year long. Submit, anything else you want to add today?
Go Bears.
Go Bears. Well, we're recording this early in January. Let's hope they're still playing late in January. If they're on the way to the Super Bowl, good luck, Bears.
That'll be great.
If they lost to the Packers in round one, don't judge us, everyone. This was before then. Submit, thanks for joining us.
Thank you.